doggone it if he's not calling right on time.
Man, it's unbelievable that that governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, on the phone list. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. How's your summer so far, which hasn't started yet?
Well, it actually starts tomorrow.
Oh, I know. I'm. Believe me, I'm one of these guys who counts every day and minute of summer.
Yeah, he's already counting when it ends.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, by the way, tomorrow's a big day in my family. My father turns 90.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Is he, you know, with it? Does he still drive?
You know, he has a car. I don't think he drives it that much. Maybe a little bit around town, and he lives in Needham, which is the town we grew up in. Maybe around Needham during the day. I don't think he drives it at night. He, you know, knock on wood, he's in really good shape. And my wife and I and two of my kids took him out to dinner on Father's Day. And we had a great time. I'm a very lucky guy.
Is your mom still alive? Or
no, my mom, sadly, she got Alzheimer's at the age of about 75 or so. And literally for like the next 10 years, my dad, for, you know, seven, eight of those 10 years, took care of my mom. And then she got sick enough that she needed to be in a nursing home. And they moved into a community in Needham that has a nursing home on one side of the driveway and a independent living set of apartments on the other. And they moved in there, and he visited her every day until she passed about 2 years ago, right around now.
So is he playing the field now? is he dating?
he has met a woman.
There you go.
Seems to be quite fond of.
Yeah. Wow, there you go.
Who also lost her husband to Alzheimer's, yeah. Which is kind of interesting.
So. And she's like 82, so he's basically robbing the cradle.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
You guys can take almost anything and just ruin it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Actually, he's robbing the wheelchair. But what I wanted to ask, when you talk about driving, I did a little bit of research before I asked this question because it's driving me crazy. You've been out in Western Massachusetts often enough in the last 6 months, a year, 2 years. You're aware of this viaduct project that we're experiencing that thankfully is almost over. Back in 2014.
It's actually going to be done a little early.
Well,
compared to the schedule that we inherited.
It would be nice if they were able to tell people that. In 2014, about $17.5 million was spent to put these electronic billboards over the hang on a second. I just make sure that's not you getting pulled over.
Yeah. Have you broken the law, sir?
they put these electronic
for the listeners' record, it's a fire truck.
Okay. Are you sending fires, sir?
this billboard that hangs over the highway, and from what I understand, it's operated from a place in Framingham. There are times when the entire I-91 is closed in one direction or the other, or an entire lane is closed, and these signs are black. There is nothing written on them, not even the ridiculous use your blinker. There is no warning of the highway being closed within a mile.
Or any traveling instructions.
At all.
I'm writing this down, guys, and I'll look into it, and we'll get back to you on it.
It's really yeah. Frustrating because they will have the orange signs, you know, that are on stands that they take down at the end of the shift that will say left lane closed 1 mile or highway closed. But this sign was put there for that purpose, and it says nothing.
It just seems like a remarkable waste of money to have spent, you know, all of that to get nothing really out of it. I mean, in other areas of the country, they use these signs, and they're giving you instructions about
sort of like J.D. Drew.
Yes, exactly. Just like J.D. Drew.
Okay.
That's exactly.
All right.
What did I miss?
Spend a lot of money, not really get a lot out of it.
Exactly. Oh. you have great expectations when it's first with you, but then you realize, oh no, this can only work out badly.
Okay. So you wrote that down?
I will. I wrote it down. I'll look into it, and we'll get back to you on it.
Okay.
Right. The other big thing that this happened yesterday, you are not going to be sending National Guard troops to the U.S. border. I think many people in Massachusetts kind of are applauding you for this. Immigration is obviously a big issue. It has people kind of flummoxed on what to do. you can't have a real good discussion about this without someone being accused of being a racist or being insensitive or whatever. So what is your feeling about what's going on here? I mean, is this a human rights violation? Is it something more than that? What's your take on it?
You know, I've been talking about the fact that Democrats and Republicans need to come together on this issue pretty much since I started running for governor back in 2013, okay? And I get the fact that it's a hard and it's a difficult issue for all kinds of reasons. And border security, I support border security. I support efforts that are made to ensure that we do everything we can to ensure that people who enter this country and stay here do so legally. But I absolutely believe that part of the problem we have right now is both sides don't want to talk to each other about it, don't want to engage in a conversation that goes somewhere, and this is what we're left with. And I made the decision not to send the chopper down to the border because after just watching a lot of the news and reading a lot of the reports, I just came to the conclusion that this notion that we should take kids away from their parents under the kinds of circumstances that were being discussed just didn't make it was a cruel and inhumane thing to do. And I have to believe that there's a better way to do this. And I hope that people will get serious about that instead of just pointing fingers, which seems to be what they do on almost everything down there.
The besides being one day away from summer, we are now 10 days away from July 1st, which was the intended date of having recreational marijuana available in the state. Before I ask the main question, I want to ask this. Is the Cannabis Control Commission a full-time job?
For the members who serve on the commission, yes,
it is
a full-time job.
Okay.
And for the staff, obviously, it's a full-time job too. They're paid.
Well, then the irony.
Job and they're paid.
The irony of them coming out last Thursday and saying that unfortunately we're not going to be ready on July 1st to have legalized marijuana available recreationally because we haven't finished vetting all of the people who are applying for it. And then the article that we were reading from said that they would meet again on Tuesday, which would have been 2 days ago. Why would a full-time paid Cannabis Control Commission take a four-day weekend in June at the same time they're admitting they can't hit a July 1st deadline?
So, again, without knowing the specifics of this, but knowing a little bit about how commissions work, commissions aren't allowed to meet with, I think if more than two members talk to each other or get together, that's a public meeting. I mean, my guess is they were showing up for work and they were reviewing and vetting applications and doing what I would describe as the administrative work associated with their various tasks. But they have to meet in public and they have to give notice that they're meeting in public. And that notice usually, I think, has to be, you know, sort of several days, so that people know when the meeting's going to be and if they want to come and either speak at it or watch the proceedings, they have an advance warning to do so. And I'm guessing that's what it is, which is why a lot of these full-time commissions like the Gaming Commission and some of the others don't meet every day. They meet on a schedule, and that schedule gives people the ability to know when they're going to meet, and then they do their administrative stuff when they're not, quote, meeting. But it's got a lot to do with the public records and the public meeting laws in Massachusetts. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
So,
Steve Hoffman works very hard, the guy who's the chair of that thing. The idea that he would take 4 days off at this time, I just don't believe that could possibly be the case.
So you're saying that administratively they might be working a 40-hour week, but if three of them meet in the lunchroom, they can't talk about work because
that is exactly right.
I think you're taking.
I'm sorry, that's the way they have to deliberate in public.
Okay, I just thought you were taking my sarcasm and turning it into your sarcasm.
No, that's. I mean, I'm again. I will follow up. I'll make sure. I'll we'll follow up on you, with you guys on this one. But I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, the Fiscal Management Control Board that we put together to fix and reform a lot of the stuff at the MBTA has a similar issue, which is they can meet in private if they're talking about personnel or they're talking about contracts, right, under negotiation. But they are not allowed to get together as a group and talk off the record. Wow. They have to talk on the record.
Hmm. We're about a little less than 2 months away. Well, actually, a little more than 2 months away from MGM opening up here in Springfield. I know you took a look at the place. I know you're excited about it, or you say it's pretty impressive. But you know, there are a lot of people who are looking at the sports betting decision for the Supreme Court and wondering, how fast are we going to get this? You told the Boston Herald this week that it's going to be at least a year before the legislature can really get into this and start talking about this simply as a matter of scheduling. What do you think this is going to be a real difficult challenge when they do get around to it, or is this going to be something that just going to be, are we going to be able to do this quickly once we get to 2019, or are we going to drag this along like we've done, so many other things in Massachusetts?
Well, when I said a year, I don't think I said a year. I think I said next session, right? So the legislature's formal session ends on July 31st, right? And that's not a bad thing. They started doing that because some of the lame duck session stuff was pretty unattractive. That used to happen after the elections, and they'd come back in full session. They'd do a whole bunch of stuff, and it was just wasn't good. So they changed the rules and basically said, we'll check out at the end of July in an election year, and then we'll have the elections, and we'll meet in informal until the new session starts in January. Now, my expectation is, I can certainly tell you this, the people on our team have been and will continue to talk to Major League Sports and to a lot of the folks who are involved in this business to get an understanding of both how it might work and how it does work in other places, so that early in the next session, if we're around after the election, we'll pursue. I mean, we'll file something and then work with the legislature on it. And I think what I said in that interview is that I anticipate that this is an important discussion for us to have, and that it needs to be one that we have early in the session. But it's also the kind of thing where it's a good idea to make sure that whatever kind of framework we put in place from an oversight point of view is one that works. And, 5 years from now, no one's going to remember if we started online sports betting or sports betting generally in Massachusetts in July or August or September of 2018, or we started in July or September of 2019. I mean, it's going to be what it's going to be. And the notion that, you have to start tomorrow, I just don't buy that. I mean, there's some really interesting and complicated and difficult issues here. And I'll start with a really simple one, which is, do you limit it to pro sports, or do you make it all sports?
Hmm.
And there's a lot of really good reasons to think about that one, because in the world we live in today, people can bet on whether or not you make a free throw. People can bet on all kinds of things.
Right.
And people do. They bet, right now people bet in other parts of the world on literally what happens simultaneously around certain things. People bet against who's going to win or lose a game based on how the percentage associated with the likelihood of them winning changes over the course of four quarters or three periods or whatever the terms of the contest are. And we really need to make sure that we think about some of this stuff and we go at it in a way that we think minimizes the corruption, okay, and at the same time creates a framework that people believe is the right kind of framework for doing this.
All right. I just want to remind you of a conversation you and I had, though, in the past, as we are now 10 days away from the recreational marijuana and 2 months away from the opening of MGM Grand. I asked you what we could do together, sit in my car and smoke a bone, or sit at a table and play some blackjack. And you said blackjack, so I'm holding you to it.
I will look forward to that. I thought I was incredibly impressed with how much thought MGM put into what they were doing there. And And they said several times when I was walking through the place that they really do believe that this sort of urban sort of community project is where their industry over time is going to go. That this idea that you create kind of these streetscapes or marketplaces, whatever you want to call them, in urban settings is going to be more what the next act looks like for just casinos and the hotels and the restaurants and the other activities that come with them. And they put a lot of thought into this thing. I mean, I was really impressed.
Well, the thing I like about, and we've talked about this before, is, you know, if it were just going to be a regular, you know, casino, which, you know, with no real thought into, you know, any economic development beyond it, you know, then I'm not sure I'd be in great support of it. But what I am very encouraged by in the Springfield area is that you have lots of other development going on simultaneously with, you know, related to the casino and not related to the casino, the rail car company, the expansion of commuter rail to New Haven, expansion of Bay State.
Greenfield.
Yeah, I mean,
but not Boston.
Yeah, all these things are.
We're gonna do the study, John. Come on now.
Good, yes. Good,
good. Yeah. It's about time we did the railroad study.
You know, all these things are happening, and for many, many years, us in Western Massachusetts have really kind of felt like we've been like the beaten circus animal of Massachusetts politics, always, you know, always kind of forgotten about, and that seems to be changing incrementally and in a very positive way, and I think there's a lot of reason for optimism about this part of the state for the first time in years.
I agree. Every time I've been out there, and I've been there quite a bit lately, I came away feeling the same way.
Well, all of a sudden, now we've lost the signal.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Now we can.
I said I agree with you, and I've been there quite a bit lately, and I come away feeling the same way.
And when
there's a lot of good stuff going on there.
When you've been here, have you found that that the entire highway was closed and you had no prior warning of it?
John, you can beat that horse all you want. I heard you the first time and I wrote it down.
Well, one day when I start talking about pot, then we'll see how often that comes up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, sir, we've eaten up enough of your time. We appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thanks, Governor.
Governor Charlie Baker. It's 9, Rock 102. Hey.